What's up, welcome to episode 344 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. No new releases this week, obviously, because it's, you know, right before the end of the year. But we had two bits of news we can go over, and then we can just talk about what we've been playing, because I finished a game, and I know Isley started playing a new game, so that means he's finally done with Dragon's Dogma.
Does it, though?
Maybe. We'll see.
Does it mean that?
But
I don't have the platinum yet.
Yeah, you still got to work for it. There is still the holiday deals going on until January 5th. So definitely hop on that, because there are a ton of games that we talked about last week that are on sale for ridiculously low prices. So you need to get on that. And they've even promoted it on the XMB. Not that it's the XMB, because that's PS3. But the crossbar, like holiday sales, like front and center. So, I was looking at it again. I wish these sort options on the deals were a little better. Like, they allow you to, especially if you go to, like, see all, you can see all the game deals, and you had filters for, like, oh, the game type, the content type, if it's a game bundle add-on, you know, whatever. Is it a PS4 game, VR, a bundle, PSN game? What the genre, platform? Right now, it's only PS4 and Vita. It's only one Vita game, but it's, like, 1,098 PS4 games. So I'm like, okay, this is way too many. And then it lets you sort by the price, but you could also sort by the names, A to Z, price low to high, high to low. You can do release date oldest and release date newest. And the newest one's okay, because you're like, all right, well, that should be the stuff from Q4, so I want to see that, because that's usually when all the big games come out. But I wish they had one for, like, popularity or rating, because they do have ratings, like the thumbs up, thumbs down on PS4, so I wish they would add just a little extra. Or if you could filter by publisher or dev, or I don't know, just give some more options, because browsing is kind of a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like everything that came out this year's on sale. You know, so again, you got Outer Worlds, Resident Evil 2, Modern Warfare, Death Stranding, Jedi Fallen Order, like a bunch of deals. And then, of course, last year's, you got Spider-Man, God of War, Days Gone. Well, Days Gone came out this year, but Control came out this year as well. You got that. Sekiro's on sale. How much is Sekiro on sale for? Sekiro is... wait for it to load. 35% off. So go ahead and pick that up. Mortal Kombat 11, of course, like we talked about. Bunch of stuff. Definitely hop in there, because there are a lot of things. I forget what I came across when I was browsing yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, I should get that. But I forget what game I was looking at. But it was like a game that was like pretty cheap, and I was like, oh man, I should really play this. But yeah, lots of stuff. And then, of course, a bunch of DLC, you know, I think that's the whole reason it's like it's over 1,000, is because there's a lot of DLC stuff, like, oh, you can buy the currency packs for, you know, this game, or do this for that game. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff on there. Yeah, definitely look at that before it ends. Again, you got until the 5th. Of January, so you've got a while. But yeah, we'll go ahead and just jump to the news. Not a whole lot, very minor. I thought there would be like maybe some more stuff that would squeak through, but nothing really. we did see a new patent for a PlayStation controller come out that got reported by Polygon, where it shows, it basically looks like the DualShock 4, which the DualShock 5 is supposed to look very similar, because they, of course, release specs. So it's clearly the 5. But it has these two back buttons on it that are... Unfortunately, the pictures aren't perfect to show it. Like, the ones at an angle. And I'm like, okay, I see where they are. But they look interesting for buttons. It's not the same design as the attachment that's going to come out later in January. But it does show that, hey, that maybe they'll release a variant of their controller with the back buttons on it. Which would be great. So then that way, if you want to buy a new one and you didn't buy the back paddle attachment, it's like, oh, well, you can just get this one with the extra buttons. So that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. Then there's an interview with Shuhei Yoshida. He was talking to Japanese magazine Dengeki PlayStation, where he was just talking about how developers are telling him that creating games on the PS5 is just super easy than ever before. They talked about how that was obviously one of the initiatives for the PS4 and the policies was to, you know, make the hardware hurdle for developers easier to overcome and everything. And now it's, they carried that over to the PlayStation 5, and apparently it's just even more simpler to design for. So, he also talks about a couple of things in this interview, but nothing that super stands out. Then there's, for anybody who's on PC, Windows specifically, there is a DualShock 4 program you can download called DS4 Windows that allows you to hook up a PlayStation 4 controller to your Windows to play, you know, play your games on there. Obviously, you can just use Xbox controllers, which are super easy, but if you don't like the control layer or you don't have one, this app has been out for a while. It lets you spoof the controller, makes the computer think it's an Xbox One. But they've recently done a new version of it that makes it much better. And it's got a bunch of changes, so you can go ahead and download that. I believe it's free. But yeah, it's that's on there. So if you're doing that, get it. And then outside of that, there wasn't really anything else. I'm just some game or some PlayStation console deals, but I think they're probably going to expire pretty soon. And yeah, not a whole lot else. So we can just go ahead and just jump straight into what we've been playing. So Zaya, have you been playing anything new-ish or same stuff?
Pretty much, yeah. We just jumped back into Stardew Valley today because we've been playing with Michael's brother. And not a whole lot else going on. Just Pokemon and farming games.
Can you just easily... Is it like drop-in, drop-out multiplayer, or do you have to roll a new, like, world or something?
For Stardew?
Yeah.
The only thing you have to do is you have to make sure you have a cabin for everybody, because it's up to 4 players, so you have to have, like, your main cabin and then 3 extra little cabins for people to live in. But other than that, you can kind of just drop in whenever you make a... You have to make a character for that farm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as long as the farm is open, because his brother's going to come in and play, probably, and I'm going to tell him to watch my animals while I'm doing other stuff, so...
Babysit.
We can basically, as long as Michael has the farm up, we can just go in and do whatever we want. And
yeah.
The only thing is, you have to make sure that your character is sleeping at night, otherwise they pass out. So they have to be, like, somebody has to be, like... actively paying attention, or if they're fine with their character just passing out every night, then everybody has to wait until like 2 a.m. in the game to actually progress the day. So
that's funny. So does everybody have to do it at the same time, like in Minecraft?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to be, if you want to progress the day earlier than like the default, the day's over, you waited too long time, then everybody has to be sleeping
at
some point.
So I figured.
And you can't, you have to do the events together too. So if somebody didn't want to do one of the events, like the other 2 people can't do the event. You have to, because it blocks off like certain part, depending on what event it is, it blocks off certain parts of the map. And it, when you try to go to that part of the map, it says waiting for players. So
I would either be amazing to play with or horrible to play with, because I'd want to do everything.
Yeah. Well, if you have a time limit, I mean, you can still do everything, just have to wait like a day, right? Is there, I mean, I'd imagine that's just the case.
Yeah, pretty much. So like, if 2 people are in bed because they're done with whatever they're doing for the day, and the other person is just like out, you have to either wait for the other person to come back, or the other person will just pass out and then they have like half energy the next day.
Hmm. And then you have anything on the horizon you're looking forward to playing or after starting?
I have a lot of games that I need to finish.
You gotta finish Death Stranding.
I know, I haven't finished Death Stranding. I never finished Astral Chain on the Switch. I need to finish that. I got some money for Christmas and I was thinking like, oh, I could get some new games and stuff like that. Or I could get a couple little things on Steam that I wanted to get. And then I thought about my backlog and was like, maybe I shouldn't.
Usually when that happens, when I find myself with a bunch of games, outside of when I bought a bunch of the games in the holiday sale, but if, like, if I buy a few things at once, I usually try to just go, oh, well, if I'm going to add anything else, especially if I want something big, it's like, I'll just, if it's a small game, and I know, like, oh, I can beat this pretty quick, like, you know, like a Journey or a Limbo or something like that, or like the Call of Duty, which I was going to do first, but then I started playing Subnautica. if I know something's going to be just a couple hours, I'll be like, all right, I'll just, it's okay, because at least I can get through that in, like, a day.
Yeah. But, well, the problem is the games that I want to get, I can't. And I have two games on Xbox Game Pass that I still want to play, too. It's like, I have those, I technically have those already, and they're in my, they're now in my backlog to do that. But it's mostly, like, I really want to get Bravely Default, because that new one is going to be coming out on Switch, I think, next year, they said, sometime. So I want to play through those. Well, there's two of those. There's Bravely Default and Bravely Second. Those are, like, you know, RPGs. They're many, many hours long. Yeah. So I'm just kind of, like, accumulating a backlog at this point just because I can.
Bravely Default was so good.
Somebody's over there shaking their head at me.
What? Oh, I said Bravely Default this
time. No, not you.
She's talking about Michael.
Oh.
Yeah. Sitting next to me shaking his head because I'm talking about stuff I want to buy.
Well, that's his job. Shake his head at you.
The quote-unquote voice of reason. But, yeah. What about you, Usley? I know you started playing Bioshock.
I did. I saw it on sale and was like, you know, I haven't played Bioshock in a while. I'm going to play Bioshock again, despite the fact that I, too, have far too many other games that I should be playing right now. It's held up really well. I have been greatly enjoying it. I remembered all the, like, main story pitches and everything, but I forgot a lot about what the plasmids and everything were like and the actual map design. So it's been fun just going through and experiencing it again, even though I know what the story is about. And then I also have a large list of games. I bought Subnautica, which I have sort of started, but not super started.
Mm-hmm.
I bought The Outer Worlds, finally.
Nice.
I still have to play The Outer Wilds, which I own. I got Control, and I have Bioshock 1, 2, and Infinite. And I have not yet finished Dragon's Dogma. I finished two of the three required playthroughs, but there's still a third required playthrough. So that's
too much.
It is. There's, like, I love this game, but holy shit, three playthroughs of, like, a dense RPG is a lot.
Like, yeah.
It's just a lot. But the third one is, like, a speed run, and you have to do it in one sitting, so I'm hoping my OCD doesn't kick in, and I can actually beat it quickly as opposed to trying to do every little thing humanly possible in the game. But we'll see. We'll see what my fucky brain decides.
Is it in, like, you have to play through, obviously, multiple times. Is it like Nier Automata where it's at least different or shorter variants?
Nope. It's
just...
it's the full game three times. So with Nier, it's different, and, like, the three playthroughs are really kind of like three parts to the same story. And, like, the first playthrough is your main character, and the second playthrough is a little bit similar to the first, but it expands on it. But then the third playthrough is totally different. And you get different parts of the story every single time to kind of, like, paint the whole picture, which is why I like that method. With this, it's just the full game three times. You have to beat it in... you have to beat it in hard mode, which is what I did the first time. That you have to beat it in New Game Plus, and then you have to beat it in speedrun mode, which is a completely separate mode where you just can't die. You get one life, and you can't save or quit at all.
Okay. Gross.
So it's just a lot. And I have the speedrun mode left still, and I've heard that you can transfer your stats to the speedrun mode. I need to look into how you do that, because if you can transfer stats, you can set up, like, So you don't get fast travel locations. You have to get items for fast travel, and you have to place the fast travel locations yourself, which takes a fucking long time to place them since the map is huge. I've heard there's a way to like place the fast travel points at the start of a speed run so that you can just teleport everywhere you need to go immediately. Since a lot of this game's time is spent just running around, getting from point A to point B in like a deadly world that wants to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know yet. I'm taking a break from that to play through BioShock just because I was getting massively burnt out on like huge RPGs. Yeah. Still love the game, still highly recommend it. Just the platinum is a lot of it's a lot of time.
Just got to take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Outer Wilds, NoClip announced that their documentary for it arrives on January 1st. So if you are interested in that or have played Outer Wilds, you can watch the documentary when it comes out.
Oh, great. That just means I need to beat the Outer Wilds, too, before January. Awesome.
I think that game's pretty relatively short, even if you take your time. I was thinking about picking it up, but I'll probably wait.
I thought you already played through Outer Wilds.
No, that's the Outer Worlds.
Which one is the documentary on? I'm already Outer getting Wilds. Mixed up.
The one where you explore planet to planet.
Yes. Okay, we're good with that.
Yeah. One of the things about Twitter, because you're like, while you're talking, I was looking at Twitter to see if I missed anything like big, because you know I follow a lot of game studios on here as well, is when something small happens, I don't see it. I just see all the rebuttals to the response that has no volume. Like, all of a sudden, someone, like, just these people retweeting stuff, like, talking about save states and rewinds, and like, play how you want to play. And other people are like, yeah, play, no one cares how you beat a game. And I'm like, okay, someone must have said something. And I have to, like, go through all these Twitter replies to find this one nobody who only has like 1,000 likes on the tweet saying the negative thing. And I'm like, why are we amplifying? I mean, I get it. Like, who cares? But why are we amplifying this dude who has like no reach? And I just, luckily not everybody's, cause no one's really quote retweeting this person. But it's just, I see that all the time. And I see it the most on Twitter. Obviously, it's on Twitter. Because, like, if it was on Reddit, it'd be like, dumbass says this. And then it'd be a direct link. And then everybody would comment how dumb they are. But mm-hmm. It's just this weird Twitter phenomenon. I feel like we don't need to shine a light on these people who are, like, if it's an article on, like, Kotaku or Polygon or IGN that's a bad take on something, sure. But it's like, it's just some guy who's a nobody. Why do we care? Just it doesn't matter. But I don't know. But yeah, I want to play Outer Wilds. Like I said, I think it's on the sale. In fact, let me look it up. See if I can find it real quick. But yeah, because I think that
is.
That was one of the games I was kind of looking at, and I was like, I should get this. Let's see the, because I think that was also part of the game of the. No, it's not. I think it was only on sale during the Game Awards, that 1 week. It's back to normal. So it was only on sale that 1 week, so it's not part of the end, but it's only $25. I'll probably get it at some point. Now that I finished Subnautica, I want to finish the campaign of Call of Duty, and then I don't know when I'll get to Mortal Kombat 11, because I want to go and finish, like, I know the entire story of Mortal Kombat 9, because I think I watched it, like, twice. I didn't realize I watched it already until I was like, oh yeah, I remember all of this. Like, I would just watch the movie cut on YouTube. But I have Mortal Kombat XL, so I want to play that before I play 11, since the three games are all tied together, story-wise. And then I don't know when I'll get to DMC5. And then I have The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan, which I think is one of those games that allows a buddy to play for free. Like, that one game, the Fuck the Oscars guy. I'm totally blanking it. The two brothers in jail.
A Way Out.
A Way Out, yeah. Like that one, like if one person owns it, the other person can play it without owning a copy of the game. And I think Man of Medan's the same way, or it was just a promo they ran for like a weekend or two where it was free. I don't recall, but I do want to play that, but I want to play that one with someone else, so because I figured it'd be more fun, especially since it seems like it's very much the what Dead Space 3 did, where one player sees like some crazy stuff but the other player doesn't, but the one player who sees that crazy stuff can still be attacked and killed by the crazy stuff they're seeing. So I kind of like this, that idea of playing with someone else and being like, dude, are you seeing this? Like, I don't see anything.
You know, Dead Space 3's multiplayer was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, I thought 2 had multiplayer. Maybe 3 did as well. You mean just the co-op? 3
that had the multiplayer. Yeah, the co-op.
Yeah. 3 had... Oh, sorry, I thought you meant Dead Space 2 had actual multiplayer.
Oh, no, I meant like the co-op stuff, the drop-in co-op stuff. It was actually pretty good.
I liked it. I wish they did a little more with the Isaac scene things than they did. I mean, the moments that they did it were really fun, and I did like playing that game. I played with my cousin all the way through, but yeah, it would be nice if they did some more of that. It's like the Man of Medan stuff seems like it'd be kind of fun because they do something similar. But I finished Subnautica. Got the platinum, super easy platinum. I wasn't even trying. It's just a lot of just do the stuff. They're like, there's only one you could miss, potentially. But then if you missed it, you could just probably start a new game, just build like 2 quick units, like structures, and then just beeline it to wherever, you know, the thing is, and probably do it like that. But yeah, I think I my in-game timer was like, a day and a few hours. I forget what. Like, it tells you when you boot up. I spent a lot of time in that game. But yeah, ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. It just had... I love the survival aspects, the exploration, and, like, the reward you get. And, like, I like, too, that the game kind of lightly pushes you to explore new areas and discover new things through the story. In very like perfect timing kind of ways, like it's tied to your own progression. Like, if you learn how to, like, if you, for example, you make a module for like your Seamoth that lets it go deeper, like I think at the start it goes like 300 meters, and you get a module that goes, let's go to 600, and then another one goes like to 900, and when you make big progress like that, where it's like, oh, you've discovered the thing that lets you make this, the game pings a radio signal, and you pick it up, and it's like a emergency broadcast from one of the life pods that escaped off the ship, just like you did. And like, oh, life pod 12, we're over here. And they're like, you know, so many meters, hundreds of meters down, that you can't get to them unless you had this upgrade. But going there and seeing where they're at will also help you not only discover a new, like a biome, but also perhaps something else that you can go explore. Or you'll find a wreck that will let you scan new items to create new stuff that can progress you through the story. And I really liked that. It was a lot of fun. I wish there was co-op. There's a DLC that's on PC. I think it's called like Deep Frozen or something like that. It came out January of this year in early alpha, just like Subnautica came out on PC like that, the same way, where it was like before the 1.0, you just play it. I think it officially launched also relatively recently, but at least like maybe this year was the 1.0, I forget, but it's been a while on PC that it's been out. I think it came out in 2017, and then they did updates all through 2018, but unfortunately that they're looking to launch that DLC on every platform once it's in its 1.0 version, but I don't know when that'll be. Hopefully it'll be soon, like maybe 2020, since considering they launched it in January of this year. It'd be nice to go back to this game, play an entirely new you know, setting, because like this winter setting, totally new creatures. It'd be pretty cool. And one thing I really like too, I mean, and it's not even really like a spoiler thing, but like when you go around, you find these time capsules, and they're time capsules from other players. And it reminded me very much like Death Stranding, kind of in a way, because then when you beat the game, like the whole objective of the game obviously is to get off this planet you got marooned on. And so at the end of the game, when you're about to leave, you can create your own time capsule. So it's like this tube, you could put like three items inside it. So I put like the highest quality water you can get, I think a food ration and like a med kit. And then you can attach a screenshot if you want. And I took some screenshot by mistake. Luckily, I had one that was actually pretty good. And I was like, okay, well, I'll put that up there. It's like, I keep taking these screenshots by mistake. I got to stop. and then you can type in a custom message. So I was typing out a message. The downside was I accidentally hit back. And unfortunately, when you hit back and you go to the message, because like, oh, I didn't finish editing it. You can't edit it once you like hit X to go back and do it again. Like it shows you can't like typically when you're typing, you hit R1 and L1, which lets you go a space between each character. So if you get a word, you can go back and hit L1, put the word in, and then go back to the end with R1. But you can't do that if you go back to edit the message. So I had to start entirely over. I had like a paragraph, and I don't have a keyboard hooked up to my PS4. So I was doing all with the controller. And then I was like, I redid it, and then I hit enter, and I realized I forgot like one word, and I was like, oh. And so like, it's almost like editing a tweet when you have like a character limit. And yeah. I ended up just whittling down to like something like I was like, if Mark Watney can survive on Mars, I sure as hell can survive and get off this planet. And then I just put that in. So then when you leave, you drop your time capsule. But I don't know like what, like, because it's kind of random where you find these things. So I don't know. And I've found two. When I was playing, but I don't know like how many you can find, like how many will populate your world, and obviously people have to beat the game in order to actually put one down. So let me look at the trophies. I'm curious now if what the percentage of people have the platinum, or at least the, you know, leave. Let's see, because that'll give me a good idea of how many people. Yeah, it's only 8.3% of people beat the game. So jeez. I guess the percentage of time capsules you can find is probably pretty low. Yeah, and the platinum's 5.6%. But the trophy that's needed, that's missable, is 9.7. So I guess, yeah, if you didn't do that one little thing. so yeah, I guess maybe not a whole lot of... Because everything else is high percent. Like, people have at least... built a habitat, like that's super easy. 50% players, like a lot of the base trophies are, yeah, people have gotten relatively far. My favorite is, you can tell this, it's the trophy is dive for the very first time. It's at 94.2%. So it's like, who is this, you know, 5.8% of players who never even touched it? Like they booted up, but they just haven't done anything. Is this one of them?
A lot of games have those things, because like Dark Souls had the like died for the very first time thing, and it's something like 96%. So it's like, who the hell is the person that either beat the game never dying in it, or like didn't even play 5 minutes to get to the first enemy that kills you in Dark Souls?
Mm. Yeah, I wonder, because like. I think trophies only load on your profile if you've ever launched the game. Because, like, I haven't launched DMC5, so I don't think I should have... Yeah, because I don't see it on my trophy list, so I should have no trophies. The trophy list shouldn't load until I launch the game. So I think that means that 5.8% of people launched Subnautica but never actually started it. Or, because I don't know if those trophies count on the creative mode, which is... That's the one thing. I don't know why you'd play creative mode. Unless you just wanted to explore the world with no consequence, I suppose, maybe. But
I mean, I often want to explore our world with no consequence.
Yeah, if we don't have a creative mode, can just get God power and go explore stuff. But yeah, it's a great game. I really enjoyed some. Like, the only thing I wish they would do for quality of life is, like, so you have, like, this scanner tool to start, which is important, because you scan everything. It's new, all the flora and fauna. And scanning stuff unlocks recipes for new things you can craft. And the problem is, though, like later in the game, when you get like the sea moth, you're basically in that thing the whole time. And if you're swimming outside of it, just on your own or with this little propulsion jet thing you can use, if you get something you've never scanned before, the little scanner icon shows up on the right of the screen to indicate, hey, this is new, you should scan it. You don't get that when you're in the sea moth. And there's no, like, if they just patched in an attachment, a mod for the sea moth that you can build that lets it have its own scanner, it would be like the biggest QOL ever. Because there are some items that I didn't scan like mid-game that later I'm like, I was like, man, how do I find, like, I'd see the mats needed for like an upgrade to go deeper. And obviously you have to keep making those because you have to keep going deeper and deeper into the ocean to progress. I'd be like, where the hell do I get this thing from? And I'm like, it's like the one time I had like, okay, let's go to the wiki. Saw the Subnautica wiki and it's like, you know, this. And it's like, oh, you need a deep shroom. I'm like, a deep shroom? It's like, yeah, it's in this zone, which I've been to a bunch. I was like, and the shrooms like look just like these other ones that are in the start of the game, just they're grayish. I just never scanned them and or picked one up. And so it's like, because I was in the sea moth, and so it's like, why did I not do that? But yeah, it's, and there were some, the other one I had trouble with was like, in order to build the Cyclops, like I found a lot of the components for it, but there was like, you had to find 3 hull fragments. Cause someone else that was on the planet had built one. And the idea is that it broke apart. So you're finding these components. And once you scan 3 of them, of each need one needed, you learn the recipes and now you can craft your own. And it was the one thing I had one hull fragment and I was missing 2 others. And it's just like a very generic looking piece of metal. And luckily I just stumbled across the other 2 I needed because I happened to explore some other area. But it was like, I know I had passed one of them multiple times because I thought it was just standard wreckage I couldn't scan. Yeah, but outside that, and I talked about it last week, I believe, but I wish, or maybe I was just on Discord, but I wish the draw distance was further. They have it there for like a lot of the generic inconsequential fauna and flora, but they don't really have it for all the major important stuff, like any of the mats you need, like rocks that can, like one of the big metals I needed that I missed because I wasn't close enough to the, you know, ocean surface to have them pop up and appear, it was nickel. I was like, well, where the hell do I get nickel? And it's like, oh, it's in this zone here. I'm like, I was in that zone. And I'm like, I realized I have to be pretty close to the walls or the ground to see the outcroppings of this material show up for me to actually go mine it. And that was the only downside, was needing to then going back and having to be, make sure, okay, I have to make sure either I'm in the Cyclops, which is like this mech suit, or I'm actually swimming closer to the ground in the sea moth to make sure I pop in those materials I needed.
So it doesn't pop in like farmable things, it's just like decoration stuff.
Yeah, like all the, like all this, just this fauna, like all these plants and stuff.
Yeah.
Or flora. Yeah, plants. It's like you can see it all, like all this, but it's usually like big glowing stuff. Like it pops that in. You know, obviously, but it's stuff that doesn't necessarily matter. Like you don't need to farm it for mats and stuff like that. It's like anything that's collectible, it doesn't really pop in unless you're within a pretty close distance, like more closer than like any other game I played. I think also because I played so many games that are just made just for PS4 that it's like you could see crap from so far away. But even if like I'd look at it and then I'd just slowly go in reverse and see at what point it would just disappear. It's like, yeah. And then one other like bug I would see sometimes is like, I guess if I'm in the, I think it's like if I go too fast in the game, which you can't go too fast in any of the vehicles, but like if you travel a long distance, like I found if I ever travel like more than like 1,000 meters, sometimes I'll get in a situation where I'll get somewhere and the boundary of the map doesn't load. Like I had it happen to me twice where it was like once I had to go, it's like, oh, there's this emergency signal from one of the life pods. So I'm like, okay, I'll go check out the life pod. So I go to, it was like 1,200 meters away and like 300 meters down in the water. And I go to it. And by the time I got there, like the map and the ground was just missing. It was just empty. And I could, you could swim through it. But I'm like, well, it also didn't spawn the life pod or the items that were obviously supposed to be near it. So I'm like, what the heck? So, but it's easy if you just quit and load or save and then quit and load. You're good. It comes back. And then it happened again when I was in this underground area where it just, part of the ground was just missing. Like I didn't need to go there, but it was just gone. I'm like, huh. But not that it happened often, but yeah, really fun game. I liked it a lot. Definitely just, like I said, that meaningful progression was the biggest thing. Because I get like playing Minecraft, I was kind of hoping that sort of get out of Minecraft. But the survival aspect of Minecraft is kind of garbage. And then, especially compared to Subnautica, because I just feel like it's so much more like I'm actually, you know, cautious about the enemies I see in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, paying attention like, oh, there's a Leviathan or there's this giant creature. There's a Reaper over there. There's this. It's like I'm actively watching out for these things. But yeah, it's a. There's this one enemy that will teleport you out of the vehicle you're in. So now you're outside your vehicle. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Get me back in. Get me back in. Get me back in. Stop it. But but you're fine because your character can totally swim like 1,300 meters under the water and not worry about the pressure. But it's like, how is this possible? Although your character doesn't like heat. So if you're in an area with a lot of heat, you will take damage over time.
I don't like heat either, so I can relate.
But it's a, I really like the game. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I would like to play it again. It has the hardcore mode, but I feel like I didn't die that much. Like the only time I died just because I died once because I was, let's see. I think I forgot to pause when I was underwater, when I got up and went somewhere. So I lost some oxygen. And by the time I was about to, like, if you run out of O2, like, all right, you're dead. Versus like food or water where you just lose health. If you have med packs, you can heal through it and get back to whatever you need to eat. But like I died by mistake there. It's like, oh, that's just a mistake. And then I forget why I died another time, but I feel like the survival, the other thing the survival doesn't do, like they give you O2 warnings, like 30 seconds or like, and then when you get down to like 10, it's like seek oxygen. And then like, so you got to get to the surface. That warning goes away in survival mode. But I feel like unless enemies are more aggressive, which it doesn't say, I feel like beating the game in one life would actually be really simple.
I mean, it's probably like No Man's Sky's survival mode where it's not really that hard. It just, it adds like another layer to it of if you enjoy the game or if you just like that kind of gameplay, it tweaks the core loop slightly so that it's just a bit different of an experience.
Yeah. If it was like one save and obviously once you die, it's done. It's like hardcore for Diablo. But if they did something to where like you couldn't save scum it, I guess, that'd be interesting. Like you can only save in your habitat by sleeping in your bed or something. So that way, if you did save scum it, you would lose, you know, significant progress or something like that. I mean, I guess alternative people could just build habitats all over the place and put beds in it. But yeah, great game. I'm sure you'll have fun playing it. So, like I said, it's a lot of fun and a lot of moments where like I'm not paying attention. Where I was in like the end game, and I needed to get these five mats to make this thing, and I had like three of them, and I needed to find the other two. I'm like, oh my god, I've seen them, but I can't remember where they are, and I know they're like in a couple zones. So I'm like, I gotta look these ones up because I have no idea where this one is because it was like a super rare plant or something like that. And it's like, oh, it's over in this area. I'm like, oh, well, that's a big zone I rarely go to. I'll go in that area with the Seamoth, which is like this little vehicle. And then I stopped, and I'm just floating there at one point. And I forget what I was doing. I think I was like browsing Reddit or something. Like I took a quick break. And then all of a sudden I look up, and like this Leviathan thing just grabs the front of my Seamoth and just starts crushing it. I'm like, well, I'm going to lose my Seamoth now. So I'm just going to load a save real quick because I wasn't paying attention.
But, too bad about that.
Yeah, it's a, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And then I did play a little bit more Modern Warfare. I don't know how far I'm in that, but I'm liking the campaign there. And then, yeah, I haven't played anything else. I haven't played Minecraft in a while due to the holidays, so my cousin hasn't been on. And yeah, that's it. Just finished Subnautica. Ton of fun. But I was trying to see if there was anything else I was missing, but I don't think anything popped out. I tried browsing my gaming thing real quick to see. Yeah, I don't know why. Oh, this is nice. I saw an article like, Hellblade 2 will not be coming to PlayStation. It's an Xbox and PC exclusive. It's like, duh. Why is this an article? But
sad. I did. Did you watch that Hellblade 2 trailer?
Well, yeah, I watched the entire Game Awards.
I do want that game quite badly. I think I'll need, like, I didn't expect to want to play the sequel quite as much as I do, but I think I'm going to have to get it for, it's coming out for PC, right? With their whole Game Pass thing. Yeah. I'm going to have to get it for PC since I want it.
But yeah, it's, I'll be curious to see what they do with it. The sequel. And then, of course, the out tangentially related to games, The Witcher came out on Netflix last week, which I finished. I forgot it was only 8 episodes.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I liked it. But if you don't know anything about The Witcher, you are in the dark. Unlike Game of Thrones, which obviously has a lot of lore, and I think even that comes with, like, supplemental material, like, you can read before you watch the first episode of season one. They at least, like, slowly bring you in and you learn the world. Of course, obviously, because it's, like, long, drawn-out books and they're just page for page kind of just telling it. So you're learning it the way it does that. Where this is like, oh, this episode with Geralt, like, this is this story. This is this story. And then also they do this Dunkirk thing with their timeline, which is Dunkirk's what influenced the timeline.
But the stupidest thing that made me laugh is there's one point where Geralt and Yennefer are fighting something, and Yennefer shouts, "Geralt, use Ard." And I'm sitting there going, how the fuck is anyone who didn't play the game supposed to know what the hell that means?
Yeah, because he uses it, but he doesn't say it, what it is, like, right. I'm casting Ard.
He doesn't say the names of the spells he can cast, and she shouts at him, use Ard. And I'm sitting there like, are you fucking kidding me? Really?
How did you know that?
Right, yeah, like, it was like moments like that where I was just like, okay, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a, that aside, like, yeah, there's definitely some things that, again, if you didn't read any of the books, you didn't play the games, and aren't familiar with some of the stuff, because they obviously reference things that have happened in the past in the games. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I'm curious to see what they do with the season two, if they're going to make it just all linear, now that we're basically the...
I hope they do.
I'd imagine they'd have to at this point, but I... Now that, you know, it ends how it ends, I'm like, it must be linear from here on out, because it made sense for the season the way they did it, to kind of give you the backstory of some of these characters, but you'd have to go way back, because even in the books, like, Ciri didn't come in until I think the second actual book, right? Because Sword of Destiny, she wasn't there. It was just Geralt and Yennefer, and then Last Witch is the prequel short stories to Sword of Destiny, and then the next book I think is when Ciri came in. Yeah, for some reason I didn't have the Sword of Destiny, so I ordered that, but I won't get that till like the 15th of January for some reason, because I have Blood of Elves, Time of Contempt, and The Last Wish. I think it's because when I bought them back when The Witcher 3 came out, these are the only ones that were available at the time. I was also reading like somewhere like some of the books later on, like the English translations of them aren't super great for some of the later books, but I'm like, yeah, whatever. I've read books by, you know, prominent authors, and it's like they'll have a typo or misspelling that gets through. It's like, whatever, I'll be fine. You still get the general idea. But yeah, I need to finally read through The Last Wish. Some more, see those backstories. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. That was good. Yeah, and of course they did confirm season 2 before season 1 premiere, but that won't come out till like 2021. So it'll be a while.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It's definitely not like high quality television though. Like, whereas when Game of Thrones came out, everyone was like, "Oh my god, this is the greatest show ever made." Like the first season, this is not that.
It is still very fun,
but yeah, it just, the people that are expecting like The Witcher to be Game of Thrones level like quality the first season, it is definitely not that. It's the guilty B version.
Well, it's more like you need to know. It's like we're not going to explain this. Again, we're not going to explain this for people who know nothing about it. It's just, if you know the books and the stories, we're just telling those. We're just not going to give you any backstories on anything. It's like everything that Nilfgaard's doing, all these locations, these characters. Because even Geralt's stuff is very, again, Monster of the Week, where it's like, oh, it's this story. Okay, he's doing this. You know, the Butcher of Blaviken. It's this one. It's this thing's happening. And then Yennefer's is like the one, like they don't tell you, like they don't tell the viewers who are not familiar, like, oh, witches and sorcerers are like super important to this world because they have like this council and they, everything they do, and they talk, the witches talk to the kings of these regions and kind of are, you know, their advisors. Like they don't really tell, they don't tell new people that right away. So like when you find out about this, you know, this group that Yennefer joins, it's like people won't know that unless they're familiar with the source material, obviously. But yeah, which I thought was fine. Like, I don't know how you, like, you'd have to, I guess, make it a longer series if you wanted to really slowly bring people in. But yeah, it was funny when they finally get to the episode, it's like the second to last episode, I went back and rewatched the first episode, specifically some scenes between Ciri and her grandmother, to see like how they shot them and cut out information, because it's like that Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain situation where like you see a cutscene early on and then later you see that same cutscene but it's got more info. So it's like that. I like went back and watched that episode to see, like, because I went back and watched it, I was like, oh yeah, he does say he's gone, and I didn't even think about, well, who, because I just thought it was like, oh, something else, you know, and then it all makes more sense once it gets to the end. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I liked Jasker and Geralt. I thought they were good together.
Jasker?
Did I say Jasker?
You did. Jasker?
Sorry. This is what happens when I'm reading stuff while I'm also, you know, playing or saying stuff at the same time. But, God, now I'm totally blanking on his name. Why did I?
You're close. You forgot an I and a different language.
Well, you give it to me because I'm blanking on it now.
Jaskier, that guy. It's not Jasker.
Okay.
Jaskier? What?
Yeah.
They changed Dandelion's name in the show. This is what I was talking about, because Dandelion was apparently like the English translation, I guess, which I never knew. So in the show, they did it with another character too. They used the original Polish names for characters.
Yeah, so that's what his name is, the original Polish name.
Yeah, so there was someone else's name they changed too that really threw me off.
But yeah, it's just Jaskier. Jasker's fine. You can have a silent letter, whatever.
We'll go with Jasker. Yeah,
but
we'll go with Jasker.
Jaskier, because I think even Witchers calls him Jasker. But their relationship reminded me a lot of what I loved about the Punisher season 1 with Micro and Frank Castle. Because I was wondering the whole, like, when the series gonna come out. I was like, well, is it gonna be Geralt and Ciri together the whole time? Which wasn't the case with the way the story is told. But yeah, having it be those two together through Geralt's stories, I thought was really fun. Once they finally met up anyways. And I totally forgot that Triss was also new magic. I don't know why, because she doesn't do much in The Witcher 3 with it, does she?
With what?
With magic.
I think it depends on who you picked. She wasn't like huge in The Witcher 3, but I know she was still supposed to be super powerful.
Yeah, I guess I just, anytime Geralt saw her, like, I don't remember Triss ever doing anything magical in the video game. Like, you obviously see Yennefer all the time do stuff. At least Jasker's close. Yennefer and Jennifer also close as well, but I corrected myself. But I don't remember Triss, like, because who was the other one? I'm blanking on her name.
The blonde chick that sleeps with you.
Yeah, who just uses Geralt to sleep with him. I'm blanking on her name too. People cosplay her all the time.
I can't remember what her name was.
I can't remember her name. But like you see, she knows like herbology and all this stuff and knows some things. Like, because I guess not everybody knows the same kind of magic within The Witcher, which that I wasn't aware of. But the show, like, talks about everybody has their own, like, however they're attuned, the magic attunes itself to a person could be different. I don't know if that's the case in the novels. I'm assuming it must be if they're supposed to be falling close to the novels. Like, because they knew alchemy. I guess Triss, no, she knows magic, but I don't know. Let's see if this, I don't know why I'm looking up this Wikipedia.
I remember Triss is powerful. I can't remember what she actually like did though. Yeah, I want to say there was something like fire related, maybe.
Yeah, her. I mean, her default picture is her with fire holding in her hand, like pyro.
Yeah, I thought she lit something on fire, or, like, blew something up. I don't know. I'd have to play 3 again. It was a long game.
Yeah. Yeah, just really say Kira. That's the name. Kira Metz is the other character. That the one, the blonde one. But yeah, it's it doesn't really say exactly what she did here, but yeah, it's I like the series. Obviously it's not for people who know nothing. They probably wouldn't have a good time unless they just want to watch some sword fights. But yeah, you're right about the, I wanted to go back and watch episode 1 and see that CG from the monster there, because later when they had that assassin with the bug, I thought the bug looked fine. I felt like the lighting and the way it moved, and it was like kind of glossy because it's shell. I thought it looked fine within the world, but then later there's that scene where Jasker finds that like cute little thing that's not a cute little thing, and then when it stands up, that definitely looked a little.
It's like the first 15 seconds of the show. It's specifically when Geralt is underwater. And I'll spoil the first 15 seconds when he's underwater and he gets like pulled out of the water or something. It looks like they just attached like a harness to Henry Cavill and just like pulled him straight up in the air, like during a theater production or something. Like, it just looks
most likely how they would do it.
It looks fucking awful. Like, it looks like hot garbage. And I burst out laughing. And then they get to the first fight scene with people, and it looks phenomenal. And I was just kind of sitting there going, like, what are you guys doing? Like, I know that in one he's fighting nothing, and in the other it's actual props and things, but, like, come on. It just looks bad. It's literally the first 15 seconds when he gets pulled out of water, if you want to go watch it.
I think also they did the fight stuff after everything was done. I think that was, like, the last thing they did was they went back and did reshoots of the fights, I think. At least I thought that's what Henry Cavill said for one thing, because they brought the guy on from Mission Impossible Fallout to do the coordination for that.
Like, choreography. It honestly just looked embarrassingly bad.
But I was hoping I can go back on and just watch it real quick. But yeah.
That's disturbing. My entire like floor is shaking right now.
No good.
Earthquake!
I was around wondering whether it was an earthquake or whether it was my neighbor just doing something loud.
Just doing something loud. Stomping around. Just trying to cause noise. But anyways, we'll go ahead and just wrap it up there then. Stop talking about the Witcher. Just toss a coin. But God. All right. Well, thank you all for...
to your Witcher.
Uh-oh, he's going to start singing. We got to go. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Bye.